I'm Jeff Anderson with the Doniana County Cooperative Extension Service with some gardening tips for you. Take the time to plan out your vegetable gardens. I know we all want to be in a rush to taste those luscious tomatoes, fresh cucumbers, and savory herbs, but a weed problem or lack of water can quickly dash hopes for harvesting the fruits of your labor. So get rid of weed problems first, especially invasive weeds such as Bermuda grass, bindweed, and climbing milkweed. Make sure water is available to your garden. An automatic system is best and worth the investment. A week on summer vacation could spell disaster for all your hard work, not to mention a fruitless harvest.
Join us for KRWG's Gardening Confidential, the fall edition, this Thursday from 12 to 2. Call in with your gardening questions for your chance to win a $25 gift card to Guzman's Color Your World. KRWG's Gardening Confidential on KRWG Public Media. Hour one is done. Time now for hour two of KRWG's Gardening Confidential. I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host for the next hour, as we ask, what makes your desert garden grow in the fall? Our special guest is Jeff Anderson, an agricultural agent with the Cooperative Extension Service at New Mexico State University. Have you started to winterize your garden? Have you planted your coal crops? What are some good coal crops? How was your summer garden? Call in at 575-646-2212 or join us on our Facebook Live as we live stream the show to ask your questions. All calls and social media questions and comments will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Guzman's Color Your World. We're going to be doing the drawing after the show, so stand by. We'll let you know who won and we'll contact you. Jeff Anderson, welcome back to hour number two. This is going great. We've got a lot of calls waiting.
Thank you, Edmundo.
All right, let us go to our phone bank where we have Chris. Chris, you are on with Jeff Anderson. What's on your mind, Chris?
Yes, I like to, I have a mesquite tree that I like, but I'd like to grow one out of, like, seeds. Is that possible? Do I have to buy one from, like, a nursery?
No, you can grow them from seeds. One of the problems with the seeds are that they contain sometimes worms in them. Larvae that get in there and they eat them. So if they don't germinate, that happens, that they have a worm in them. They also have a real hard seed coat, so you need to pre-soak them like you would do beans, like if you're cooking beans on your stove, but you don't want to cook them. Don't cook them. But you need to soak them in water so that they can hydrate. But find a good mesquite tree that you like, and you know sometimes you may need to take the seed and scratch it up a little bit to get water inside of it. Sometimes they have a real hard seed coat, but soak them first.
Okay. I have tried doing that this past year, and for some reason, I don't know what I'm doing wrong because they're not germinating, and I get the pods, and I think the thing is that I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, so you get the pods, and you take the seeds out of the pods, right?
Correct.
And make sure you inspect for insects in them. You need to scarify them, which means scratch them up. You can take a seed. What I've done in the past, I've taken a seed with a pair of pliers, and if you have a grinding wheel, just lightly touch the edge of it on the grinding wheel to create a hole. You know, in the industry, they would take sulfuric acid and soak them in sulfuric acid to dissolve the seed coat a bit. Not totally, but dissolve it so water can get inside the seed. One of the biggest problems with mosquitoes is that they don't absorb water. They're meant to survive in the desert, so not all the seeds germinate at once. So they tumble around in the arroyos when it rains, and some of them get cracked, and those will germinate, and other ones will sit there for several years before they weather enough where water gets in them, and they will germinate. So that's a means of survival for the tree.
Okay.
So you need to crack them somehow or get water so they can get inside them. Take a piece of sandpaper and sand them down.
Okay, yeah, so basically a little bit of I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Chris, for joining us on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. Catherine, you are on with Jeff Anderson. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions about my jujube.
Okay.
The first one is, it's spawning all sorts of new ones coming up. Is there any way of controlling that?
They do sprout. That's one of the bad problems with the jujube is they tend to sucker a lot. So if you disturb the root system, like if you're mowing or chopping around there, they can sprout out. But they can sprout out just naturally. The thing is, you have to find where the sprout is, go back to the root system, and remove it from where it starts from the root. And then you can spray some pruning seal on it, and that will help prevent the buds from germinating again. But there's actually almost no way to prevent those buds from continuing to sprout like that.
Okay. And what did you say to spray it with?
You can spray it with some of that pruning seal.
Pruning seal, okay.
Yeah, I've noted that by putting some of that on, sometimes root sprouts, it coats them with a tar, and that makes it black there, and it makes it difficult for the buds to resprout. Doesn't
okay,
stop it,
I
but it slows it.
Where do I buy that?
You can get it at any of the box stores or at Color Your World. Guzman's Color Your World should
okay.
have it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
I think
my second question.
Oh, yes, you've got two questions.
Yeah, my second question is, I've got some that have come up and they really look nice. Can they be transplanted?
Yes, they can. Yeah, you can dig them up in the wintertime. They're going to have an extensive root system. Wherever you cut them off, they're going to probably resprout in that area again.
Okay, all right. Can okay. I cut them off and then put that...
You can put the tar on there. If they're grafted, that the fruit from the ones that are coming from the root may be different from if it's a grafted tree.
Yeah.
So it could be smaller. It could be smaller, or if it's not, you know, it could be the same thing if it's not a grafted one.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Catherine, for joining us on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212, or join us on social media where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Speaking of which, let's go to Anthony Moreno. Anthony, what are people saying on social media?
Oh, we have a lot of people asking questions on KRWG Public Media's Facebook page. So if you like that, you can watch the Gardening Confidential live. We have a question from Glenda, who is having a gnat problem. She says her succulents are infested with gnats, which is a problem when she brings them in for the winter. She wants to know what she could do.
Fungus gnats are generally an indication of being too wet. So you need to let them dry out. If they're cactus, that's kind of an easy thing. Just let them dry out completely. And the cactus can go for several months being completely dry. Now, if you have one of the Christmas cactuses, that's a little bit different. So, but the answer to that is drying them out completely. There are some chemicals that you can buy or that are chemicals at Color Your World or Bacillus thuringiensis that you can drench the soil with. But the main problem is that it's too wet. So you need to end that. Sometimes you buy potting soil and you newly pot something up and then you end up with fungus gnats. So one of the things you can do with potting soil is take it and put it in your oven at about 120 degrees and leave it there. There are some directions on the internet for doing stuff like that, and that'll kill if there's any fungus gnat eggs in there. It'll kill all of that, and then you can pot your plants up and you won't have fungus gnats in your house. Or you can take that potting soil and kind of put it in plastic bags, clear plastic bags, outside your house in the sun and let the sun cook them.
All right, we have another question from Denise, who wants to know when... She says that when should she prune dead branches on her Afghan pine? She says the summer took its toll, even with watering much more than she had to do in the past. She wants to know what she can do.
Well, I'm really glad that the subject of pines came up in Afghan pines. So if you got dead branches, that could indicate something. I'll say that in a second. But you can prune those branches anytime they're dead. You know, if it's dead, it's never coming back. So cutting it off in the summer or cutting it off in the winter is not going to make any difference. The trouble with having dead branches could indicate poor conditions, that you haven't watered it sufficiently and it's got dieback. Or it could indicate a combination of drought and the fact that you might have bark beetles or borers in your Afghan pine trees or any of the pine trees. And if you have Afghan pine trees, I've looked at some in the North Valley, whole areas where pine trees were dying, and upon examination where some of the trees were cut down and peeling the bark back, they were full of bark beetles and full of borers in there. And there is actually a treatment that you can use to try and save the tree, and that'll work on Arizona cypress as well. But you have to apply it in the summertime when the tree is actively growing to pull water through the system, and the chemical is not cheap. It's an expensive chemical. But if you need to save your tree, there's a product with the active ingredient called imidacloprid. It's a systemic insect killer, and it works by going through the tree. So if you have borers or bark beetles in your tree, spraying the outside with some of the products that have permethrin in them, they will repel insects from the outside, but if they're already on the inside, it's not going to do any good. And having bark beetles or borers in the tree, if they eat all the way through the cambium around the tree will die. So if you got a branch dying one at a time, that may indicate that you may have this problem going on, and they're killing each branch one at a time until they kill the whole tree. So you need to investigate what's going on there.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Join in on the conversation on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, the Fall Edition. Captain Jeff, you win the award for most creative name and for waiting on the phone the longest. You are on with Jeff Anderson.
Well, thank you. I will be returning to New Mexico from Michigan in November, and I want to know what kind of mulch can be used in New Mexico that is not wood-related, because the decomposition of wood depletes the nitrogen in the... we have soil in Michigan. You have sand there. So what kind of mulch would be used in a garden?
Well, you know, I would use mulch in the form of wood. Wood is really good, and yeah, it depletes nitrogen as the bacteria in the soil use nitrogen to decompose the wood products and that, but eventually that comes back into the soil. You know, the benefits outweigh the nitrogen depletion. But for mulching other things, if you were looking not to use a wood-based product, carbon-based like that, the city of Las Cruces actually gives away crushed glass for free. That is one thing that could be used. There is also different rock mulches, and rock mulches are not as bad as people think. Sometimes they say, well, they get really hot, but if you have a tree canopy or a bush canopy above it, it's going to shade the rocks so they won't heat up, and those rocks actually trap moisture below them.
Is that also available on East Mesa Sonoma Ranch?
The rock, you have to buy that. As for the glass is on West Amador, where West Amador and Motel Boulevard kind of come together out there at the recycling area out there for glass.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for the information, Jeff.
Sure.
Thank you, Captain Jeff. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $25 gift card to Guzman's Color Your World. I'm Edmundo Resendez. My guest is Jeff Anderson. He is with the Doña Ana County, or the NMSU, Agricultural and Consumer Environmental Services. A mouthful, but he is the man that knows what's going on when it comes to your garden. Ella, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You've been waiting for a while. We appreciate your patience.
Yes, thank you very much to both of you. I have just a comment on the use of Roundup. We try to avoid the use of Roundup because it's so toxic and it gets in the water supply and causes health issues. So what we've found to use is Avenger, and that is a weed killer that's just based on citric acids that are non-toxic to humans or pets or anybody. They're biodegradable and they don't pollute the water supply.
What's it called again?
Avenger.
Avenger.
Avenger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Avenger. And I don't know if you're familiar, but the city just had a discussion about the use of Roundup, and And the Avenger, the use of Avenger came up, and they said, well, it's very expensive. And yes, it is expensive, but our thinking is you can pay up front or you can pay later. You can pay up front by using expensive Avenger and not having the illness and the health costs and the toxicity and the environment down the road. So that's just my personal input on the use of Roundup. Roundup is used extensively on our food supply. I don't think that's a well-known fact. If I could get Jeff's email, I could email him some links about the use of Roundup on farm crops, extensive use on farm crops, wheat, corn, soy. That's in our food chain. So yeah. Even though you say this is just a little bit of Roundup, it all adds up. It's all additive.
Okay,
right. So I understand all of what you have said there. Roundup used properly is pretty safe chemical. It's been used for a very long time. It's the using the product off the label, not using it according to the label. And the use that I don't like it used on crops either. Using it on like Roundup Ready crops where you can spray over the top, or using Roundup to kill off a crop, like a wheat crop. So where you spray the crop to make it mature earlier. And there's a number of things that we do actually in this valley here that I don't agree with either. But when you're going after some serious invasive weeds with no way to control them, and Avenger will not control some of those really aggressive perennial weeds. We have a model to look at right now. So Santa Fe has instituted where you can't use herbicides and some of the insecticides. So we're looking at the model of Santa Fe to see what's going on there, how weeds are taking over the city, what's going on there. It's a good example to look at. And another one, if they're not spraying for like bed bugs in the hotels because they're not allowed to, what's that going to lead to because of not being able to use chemicals?
All of these have consequences. So.
Yes, they all have consequences.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Chris, you are on with Jeff Anderson. Welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I live up in Caballo, slightly different elevation and I was curious there and what have you, but I have a backyard courtyard, and I want to put a raised planting area about 20 inches deep, and I'm curious about how to prepare the soil for two or three palm trees. I understand they need a little bit more sand than other plants.
What kind of palm trees are you going to put in there?
I'm not sure. What would be the best? That's a good question.
Okay, I love palm trees. I have about 400 or 500 in my own yard. And there's a lot of different types of palm trees, and it depends on how fast and how big you want them to get. There are some sables that only grow 18 inches tall, and then there are ones that grow like the Mexican fan palm can grow well over 100 feet tall.
We have to keep them on the short side for my little courtyard area.
So in there, some of the Mediterranean fan palms would work out well, and there's two. There's the green, and then there's the blue form. And the blue form is steel blue, very attractive. Some of these things you may have to either go to Tucson or go on the internet to be able to get. There's sable minor. Sable minor is cold hardy to 10 below zero. That's a pretty tough palm. And it only grows about 6 feet tall, and the leaves will stay green and perfectly healthy, 10 below zero. This is the sable minor, the dwarf sable palm, S-A-B-A-L, sable palm. And then there's like a Mexican blue palm, Brejia armata, which is steel blue and actually really cold hardy. So those are beautiful palms. As for your soil, just well-drained, add organic matter to it, and it should be perfect for that.
So don't worry about adding sand.
Sand is good if you got well-drained sand. Most plants do very well growing in sand because it's open. The roots can grow through it pretty easy. The only thing with sand is it doesn't have any organic matter to hold nutrition and water, so having that organic component in there holds on to nutrition and water for that sandy soil.
Okay, so starting from scratch, plenty of mulch and just the normal dirt from the area?
I would mix good sand. If you got a good sand source, I always say use builder's wash sand. And then you can use either topsoil, the bark topsoil. If you were closer to Las Cruces, I would say use the free compost from the city here and mix it into the sand. That's an excellent combination.
Awesome. That gives me great inspiration. I can't wait to get started on it.
All right, good luck, Chris.
Thank you very much.
All right, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Or join us on social media where Anthony Moreno is standing by, ready to answer your questions on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Gary, you are on with Jeff Anderson. What's on your mind, Gary?
Yeah, I have a palm tree. I don't know the name of it, but it's not very tall. It's a long stem with a large fan leaf on it. And I have some growth of the same stuff around the bottom, and I was wondering if I could somehow dig out and what kind of root system it has and transplant those ones that are growing out of the bottom.
Kind of sounds like you may have a Mediterranean fan palm, which is a clumping fan palm. There's not a lot of palm trees that are naturally clumping for more than one stem. Date palms are that way, and date palms you can cut off. It's a difficult process, but you cut off one of the stems and you can reroot it. Now, if it's a Mediterranean fan palm, the chances of rerooting it are fairly slim. Not all of them root like that. And cutting it off, you can damage the main plant, and that could cause that plant to rot and die as well. So not seeing the palm, it's kind of difficult to say how that, whether you could do it or not.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, thank you very much.
But all right, thank you, Chris.
Generally, it's not a good idea unless it was a date palm.
Okay.
Okay, well, I don't think it's a date palm because during the spring, it grows like little yellow clumps of stuff around the bottom of the...
Yeah, that sounds like the flowering structure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that sounds more and more like a Mediterranean fan palm.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay. All right, then. I won't do it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Chris. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Or join us on social media where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Anthony, what are people saying on social media?
Oh, we have the conversation is continuing on KRWG Public Media's Facebook page. We have a question from Janine who wants to know about those pesky goat heads. She wants to know that she wants to know what is the best way to get rid of the seeds for good.
Wow. There's a goat head weevil. I'm not exactly sure how effective it is. Certain areas of the state it's been very effective, and it varies wherever you are. But there's a source. People ask me where I can get it. You have to go online, and it's like goatheads.com. To get the weevil. The other thing is you have to kill and get rid of the goat heads that you already have on your property and not let them go to seed. So if you already got them growing and you let them go to seed, so that one plant that was one seed can produce, you know, several hundred new seeds on each plant. So you want to get rid of those. You can either go out there in the spring when they start germinating in April, and you get out there with your hoe and knock them down, or you could use a pre-emergent. Another thing is people say you can get old towels and drag them across your field. Hopefully it's not too big a field, and they will stick into the towel and then just throw those towels away. But that can get pretty expensive if you have more than, like, even more than a half acre or an acre. But pre-emergent herbicides will kill the seed as it germinates. And then that will help prevent any more crops, and you can knock them down and eventually get rid of them.
We also have a question from Kathy who wants to know if she should amend her clay soil when she plants trees.
So that's always been a little bit of a controversy. In the beginning, it can help. So if you mix a little bit of organic matter into your soil when you plant your tree, that can help the transition for that tree from its original potting soil into that amended soil and then eventually into your native soil. But think of it this way, that plant has to eventually grow and thrive in your native soil. So the quicker it gets in its roots into your native soil, the better that's going to be. So one of the things I recommend when people plant a tree is either plant it in the winter when it's dormant and take all the soil off that from the pot. Take all that potting soil off of there and get those roots directly in contact with your native soil. Or sometimes in the summer, you can take a hose and wash at least half of that off and then get those roots in direct contact with your soil. And that speeds up the tree getting established into your native soil. And those new roots, as soon as you disturb them, you get them into your native soil, they're going to start sprouting out. And when you water, it's going to be getting the water directly.
Okay. We had another question. I know we talked about roses briefly at the beginning of the program, but we have a question from Joan about if you can cut your roses down close to the ground for the fall and winter. She wants to know, if so, when should you?
You should not cut them down in the fall and winter, your roses. You want to trim them back, and you don't want to trim them to the ground, but you can trim them back appropriately for the rose bush. So if you had one that was maybe 5 or 6 feet tall and getting too big, you could probably take it halfway, and that would be in February. So generally think of like Valentine's Day is February 14th, and that's a really good time to prune your roses. So think of roses for your sweetheart or whoever, but that's a good time to prune your roses.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or give us a call or join us on social media where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Jeff Anderson is our guest today. He is talking about plants, the fall edition of KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Linda, what's on your mind?
Hi.
Yes, Linda, what's going on?
My call. Yes.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a question about a lawn in Carlsbad. Do you think you might be able to help me? It's
okay.
Ways away.
Yeah, depends. Ask the question. We'll go from there.
Okay. We have a rental home over there, and my son takes care of it. And in the past, I have heard that you're supposed to pick up your grass cuttings when you mow the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And now, just the other day, I was listening to something, and they said, no, don't pick them up. It helps, it's a type of, it helps it grow, anyway, in addition to not cutting it very short. But I guess the question is, do you pick up the grass cuttings or not?
That's a good question, and I actually can answer it.
So
if you have a mulching lawnmower where it cuts it up into smaller pieces than a traditional lawnmower, then you probably would not want to pick it up. As long as you're watering the grass and fertilizing it properly, we had just had a little bit of a discussion about wood mulch. Well, grass is a dead carbon material once it dries up. So if it doesn't have enough nitrogen in there, it will sit and cause thatch to build up in the soil,
yeah,
in the grass layer there. And then that can impede water going in there and cause some other problems. If you have enough nitrogen that you're fertilizing your lawn with, then that will break down. The microorganisms will break all that down and then release that nutrition to your grass. And over time, you will find your grass will be healthier and need less nutrition supplementation. So it can actually be very beneficial to leave it as long as you're following proper procedure on taking care of your lawn.
I see. Okay, well, that's what I'd always heard about picking up the grass because it did, might make that thatch, and then you
can't
get the water through. So
one thing to remember during the summer is, you don't necessarily want to fertilize your lawn like heavy in April and then wait until like July, August to fertilize it again. It's better to give it small amounts of fertilizer every month instead of one large dose, because most of that fertilizer, when you give it a large dose, is going to wash away, get leached away in the soil, and the plant can't take it up. So the plant can only consume a certain amount of fertilizer at a time and the rest is wasted, so it's better to put it on each month, and that will help with the grass clippings getting into your soil and break them down.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, to join us on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Anna, you are on with Jeff Anderson.
Hello.
Hi, Anna.
How are you?
We are doing wonderful. Thank you.
I had you on speakerphone. It's better this way. My question is, thank you for having this great program. I really appreciate it. And I'm trying to get some winter vegetables going on in my backyard, and I wonder what is your suggestion, what is are the best things to plant at this time of the year?
Okay. Number one would be Swiss chard. It's going to go all through the winter. It's very cold hardy. You can do spinach. You could get some. I was at Guzman's there, and you can get some of the cole, C-O-L-E, crop transplants like cabbages and kales. So you can get those and get them in your garden right away. They need some warm weather to put on some good growth, so you need to get those in pretty quick here. And if you like fava beans, they're a cool weather bean.
Which beans?
And
I'm sorry, you said which beans?
Fava, F-A-V-A. Fava beans, broad beans.
Okay.
Broad beans is another name for them. And they can be very good. And so they will grow probably much through the winter and then produce come the spring. And you can do some of the lettuces as well. And if you want to do onions, you know, you can seed onions in October here, and they'll be coming along by May of next year.
Okay, everything you tell me, is that something I can start from seeds right now, or do I have to get the actual plant?
You can start most of it from seed. The cole crops you should have started in July or August at the very latest, and now we're already September. So if you're going to try and do cole crops, you should get transplants. But it's getting pretty late for that.
How about broccoli?
Broccoli fits in with the cole crops. So all the broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts, you want to plant those the beginning of July, August at the latest, because you start those from seed.
That's too late right now.
Yeah, it's getting too late, so you're not going to get much of a harvest at all. You get tiny little, you know, about the size of an apple, maybe 4 inches across if you're lucky.
Okay, yeah. I had those seeds from before, but it's just the time just...
Mm-hmm. People forget about doing it in July. They're busy with so many other things. You know, it's the 4th of July. We're all having fun. We're not thinking about planting our crops for the winter.
So. Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with your garden.
575. Bye.
All right, thank you. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. You are on with Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. My name's Kevin, and I am an avid gardener. I was lucky enough to be born on a farm, and my question involves tropicals and subtropicals in this desert climate. Currently, I have a lemon tree that I baby. Make sure to have my greenhouse where I now am growing curcumin, which is the turmeric. Pineapples that I've propagated, papayas, and I want to know about avocados. I used to manage 125 acres in California. They're now advertising an avocado that will make it anywhere. Now, I know that it's going to need, my greenhouse is expanding, and it's probably expanding more than I have room for. What can I do? Is that possible to grow an avocado in Las Cruces, New Mexico?
Answer it directly. It's really not possible to grow it outside. In a greenhouse, possible. You got to get the right ones. There's one called Bacon, and there's one called Mexicola that are dwarf, because, you know, an avocado tree could get 40 feet tall. But you also have to have the right varieties to cross-pollinate, and then they flower and fruit in the winter. So
Bacon and Mexicola, you said, right?
Yes. So you got to look at the chart to see how receptive they are to each other. There's a class A, class B, and you have to have one from each different class in order to pollinate. But no, you can't really grow them outside, just to let everybody know. Avocados really aren't possible. There are some that they say are really cold hardy, but they flower and fruit in the winter, and all of that is frozen at 32 degrees. And, you know, even if you could figure a way to get the plants to survive, it's never going to produce here. Not unless we get more climate change.
Okay, what about oranges?
Oranges. So I grow a number of different citrus myself outside, and I know there's two lemon trees in downtown Las Cruces have been there for well over 60 years outside. Generally speaking, and that particular variety isn't available, but the one that is that actually does pretty well here is Meyer lemon. And Meyer's actually a hybrid with an orange, but it works as a lemon. But you got to have it in the right protected place. I'm also growing, there's one called, there's a mandarin orange called Arctic Frost. And we had it come in here into Las Cruces for a couple of years. But because of citrus greening in Florida, there's huge restrictions even getting them out of Houston now anymore. But Arctic Frost was a good one. And there's one called 10 Degree Tangerine. So you can go online. There's some cold hardy citrus places. I actually have one that's Citramello. 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 And it gets the size of a grapefruit, and it's cold hardy to almost 0 degrees.
Where are the lemon trees in Las Cruces that you were mentioning?
They're at a private residence, and you actually have to know where they are. It's off of Alameda in the Alameda Historic Area.
Okay.
So it's in a courtyard in the back of the house. So they're protected, very well protected, but they're big trees, and they produce a couple hundred pounds of lemon a year.
All right, great.
Okay, and can you that Citramello, that's different than a pomelo, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, Citramello is a trigeneric cross.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much for joining us. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to our phone lines where Carol has been patiently standing by. Carol, are on with Jeff Anderson.
Hi, Jeff. Hi. I was wondering if you would talk a little bit about goat heads, and I just want to encourage people to pull them whenever they see them or spray them, although spraying them's a little, you know, iffy, but right now they're easy to see because the little flowers, yellow flowers, are blooming, and they haven't formed seeds yet, but they're horrible plants.
Okay, again, I'll talk about goat heads again. So they actually...
I didn't know if you had talked about them before.
Yeah, so they actually start germinating in April. So they would have been flowering all summer long, and they're flat on the ground, and they're prickly, and they can grow if they've got enough moisture. You know, they can produce a mat 5 to 6 feet across with seeds all along them.
Two generations a year.
Yeah. So, they'll produce those seeds early in the spring. They'll start producing them. Those will fall off and grow more plants. You need to pull them out. You need to find ways to control them, either use a hoe and weed them out, or use a pre-emergent herbicide early in the spring to kill the seeds as they germinate.
All right, we're running out of time, so we're going to get in the next several questions. Rapid fire, what's on your mind, Harlan, for Jeff Anderson? Harlan?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something about container gardening. It's important to pick the right kind of container, or rather, to not pick the wrong kind. There's a lot of glazed stoneware pots available that are really beautiful. I have a bunch that I got up at Color Your World, as a matter of fact. Those are for indoors or in the shade. If they're out in the sun, whatever you plant is going to get cooked.
Well, okay. So if they're big enough, and it depends on the plant in there, and you keep it well watered, it should be fine in the sun. The trouble with the glazed containers in the winter time is that when you do water them, that water can get into the pores in the clay and cause them to split open and crack, and then you lose your investment. So using a liner on the inside or coating them to keep the moisture from transferring in there. Another way is, if you got those containers, is to cluster them together and have plants that droop over the side so the sun doesn't actually hit the side of the pot and cook it.
Yeah, that's what I've done. Or I've put plastic pots on the outside of the cluster to shade them.
Right.
All right, thank you, Harlan. 575-646-2212. We've got some time for some social media questions where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Mary, you're on with Jeff Anderson on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, the Fall Edition.
Hi, Jeff. This is Mary. I'm at 7,000 feet in Pinos Altos, different climate. My problem is the opposite of the other strawberry grower's problem. I have too many strawberry plants in a 4x8 raised bed. They're spilling over the sides, you know, sending runners out. And I'm concerned that I'm not going to have good strawberries next year if I don't thin them. When do I thin them? And I guess I could start a second bed with what I've got.
Okay, as far as I know on strawberries, you would thin them in the fall and reset them. So you want to get rid of your old plants that aren't thriving anymore, and those new runners that are producing new plants, you want to reset mm-hmm. that in a new bed. And you should be able to grow those up for a couple years till they mature, but eventually okay. they lose vigor, so you want to always be after those runners are coming off of them.
So I use the runners in the new bed?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. It looks like we have room for two more questions. Ramiro, you are on with Jeff Anderson on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, the Fall Edition.
How you doing, Jeff?
Hi. Ramiro.
Yeah, I'm calling regarding an apple tree. It's like a 3-4-year-old apple tree, and it seems to always look sad, you know, about this time. And the apples they look like they're not that big at all. It doesn't mature, so I'm wondering if I try fertilizer sticks.
Okay.
That seemed to help a little, but it didn't go too far.
Okay, so I'll tell you about apple trees here a little bit. The fertilizer sticks actually aren't very good to be using because they're so highly concentrated, and fertilizer salt. So they're highly concentrated salt source of fertilizer. And if you put them in the soil, it's going to pull water away from the plant. It'll hold on to it too tight in essence. So the plant has a difficult time struggling to get that water available, and then it's just too much fertilizer all at one time. I prefer to use a good granular fertilizer. Use it sparingly. Water your tree on a regular basis. You got to keep the soil moist. If you want to have good fruit, whether it's peaches or apples or pears, the moisture needs to be consistent. And the big thing, I was discussing this with somebody the other day, when you have fruit, that fruit forms early in the spring. So as soon as those petals fall off, that fruit starts growing. You have to have consistent water during that period of time as that fruit expands and matures to its ultimate size, because after that, the energy goes to seed formation on the inside and the fruit kind of stops growing. So early, right after petal fall, you got to have consistent watering to get the fruit as large as you want to get it, or as genetically possible for the plant.
Okay, I'll take that and see what happens next year.
All right. Thank you, Ramiro. All right, let's go to our social media desk where Anthony Moreno has been standing by. Anthony, what are people saying on social media?
We have a question from Kathy, who would like for Jeff to describe some passive and active techniques for harvesting stormwater.
Okay, passive techniques, I've employed at my own yard, and I wish everybody in town did this. So find out where your utility lines are first. That's the most important thing. Then you can dig some ponding areas, either front or back of your house, wherever you're at. And I've seen around town where they just dig a big hole and fill it with rocks, and that's it. But you don't want to do it that way. You want to dig a nice kind of shallow sloping area. Think of it like a sunken patio. And then you can plant desert plants around the edge, but that's in a way of catching water, and the water will run in there instead of the streets and clog up the sewers, and it'll contain it on your property and help get water back to the aquifer. And the second question was?
Active.
Active. So I'm happy to see that more and more we're seeing rainwater harvesting systems being put in across the city. And you can make your own. They're really easy to do. If you have a gutter system already on your house, you can direct that water to a tank. There are plenty of places around town that sell black plastic tanks, and you want black so that algae won't grow into it. And it's just a matter of collecting that water and hooking it up, and you can use natural gravity if it's above ground to couple up some drip systems with it to bring it to different plants or direct it in that regard. or you can use, there are now solar pumps out, or you can use some electricity to pump it into areas where you need that water.
Okay, and we have a question from Kathy, who is enjoying the program. She says she's new to Las Cruces from Houston and is getting used to the different climate. She loves to garden, but has never done so in the desert. And she is wondering if there is a source to go to for all the info that we've been talking about during this program today.
Well, we have the Master Gardeners, and they're at our office on Tuesdays and Fridays from 9 to 12. And our phone number is 525-6649. You can call them and talk to them. They have local experience with gardening in this area, and they can put you into contact with other organizations. If you like vegetables and that, there's the Munson Senior Center Community Garden there, where there are demonstrations. We have from time to time lectures there on gardening in the desert here. So if you like vegetable gardening in that regard, you can call the Munson Senior Center and see what their schedule is for events like that happening around.
Okay, we've got 9 minutes to go. Got three calls holding. Tina, you're on with Jeff Anderson on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. What's on your mind, Tina?
Hi. Thanks so much, Jeff. I have a question concerning my two persimmon trees. One is 3 years old. The other is 2 years old. In the spring and early summer, the leaves come out green, and the tree looks like it's going to flourish. In fact, the three-year-old actually put on some fruit. But halfway through the summer, the leaves curl and turn brown. What can you suggest? What's the problem here?
Okay, where do you live? What area?
Brannigan Library area.
Brannigan Library area. So I do know that persimmon trees prefer the valley. They prefer a clay soil, and they need consistent water. So a lot of times with burning leaves, that can be from nutrition. So your water may have the salts in there, and if they're not having any other kind of nutrition to combat those salts, they will build up and burn up the leaves. So you'd have to look at the watering practices there and what the nutrition program's going on. Hopefully you mulch the tree as well, so put an organic mulch over the top of it, because they need to have even moisture on a more continuous basis.
Okay. I think I'd asked this question once before, and it was suggested to me that maybe they have, and I can't remember the name, Texas boar beetle or Texas root rot or... No,
there's a Texas root rot, and Texans don't like that term. they prefer to call it cotton root rot.
I immediately forgot it. Could I have my soil tested or...
No, for that particular disease, it's a fungal pathogen. You really can't have the soil tested. You'd have to have root samples from the plant. But I'll tell you, if you have cotton root rot, which is Phymotatricum root rot, it's a fatal disease for almost every plant you will ever plant there will always die. And you do not want that disease. We do have it in the valley here. We do have it in different places. But it's an extremely fatal, no-cure disease.
All right, Tina. Thank you very much. We got some more calls we want to get to as we wrap up the show. All right, let us go to, let me see, who is standing by on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, the fall edition. Gregory, welcome to KRWG's Gardening Confidential. What's on your mind, Gregory?
Hi, I was wondering, is there an olive tree that would survive in the Las Cruces area?
Yes. In fact, I have about 9 olive trees in my yard. So... Arbequina, depends on what the use you want for the olive. So Arbequina is the most easily available olive tree around here. You can go to almost any store and get them. And it's self-pollinating. The olives are a little smaller. When you're looking at an olive tree, they say it's great for oil production or it's great for olives, you know, making olives. And you need a lot of olives to make a little bit of olive oil. So generally here, it's better to look at an olive tree that produces large olives. And Sevillano and Manzanillo are great. Otherwise, Arbequina, but most of them do real well here.
All right, let us take one more call. Jerry, you are on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, the fall edition. You've got a minute. What's on your mind, sir?
Hello, it's Gary.
Gary, all right, sorry about that, Gary.
Hey, Jeff, it's Gary down the road. Hey, I just want to make a quick announcement. We're doing our 10th year with the plant share and the seed share. And if people just want to know what to plant this month, John has on Facebook Seed Share Las Cruces. And at some point during January, we will do a seed share, usually at the co-op. And at some point during April, we will do a plant share. And these are free events, and potlucks are optional, and people can just bring what they have and take what we've collected. So I just wanted to make that announcement to let people know that look on Facebook, Seed Share Las Cruces, and see when we're having our seed share.
Gary, we can always count on you calling in during the gardening show. So thank you very much for doing that. Appreciate it, man.
You bet. All right. Thanks.
All right. We got one more question. What is the master gardener number again?
It's 525-6649, and that's on Tuesdays and Fridays, 9 to 12.
And where do they meet?
Well, our master gardeners, we generally meet at the Brannigan Library second Wednesday of the month. But the Brannigan Library's got some events going on, so then those things change around. So next month it's going to be in our office.
Okay, what about lilacs? Are there any good lilacs to grow in our area?
You want to get lilacs, either the Persian lilac or the Chinese lilac. They don't have as big of clusters, but they're very good performers. Or if you want the more French types, you want to look for the California varieties that were bred for California's mild climate.
Okay, so to wrap up, we had lots to talk about. We talked about goat heads. We talked about, but one of the things you wanted to talk about was pine trees and bark beetles. You mentioned that there is a cure.
Right. If the bark beetles and the borers have not consumed your tree too far, there is a chemical that can be used, and it's a systemic chemical. And, you know, if anybody has a better idea of what could get, you know, kill bark beetles organically, and I don't know of a single one, you have to resort to a chemical to treat your trees. And the name of that chemical is imidacloprid. And it's a long name, but it's a systemic insect killer. You can check with Color Your World. I know they've carried it under the Bayer name. Sutherland's has carried it under the Fertilome name. And it is around, but you want to get just that chemical. You do not need to have protectin feed. You don't need the fertilizer. You just need that chemical if you have to treat for bark beetles and borers.
Now, every county in New Mexico has an extension office. If they have questions about the garden, they can get a hold of them. Where can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, every county has an extension office, and they can get me at the same number as the Master Gardener number, and that's 525-6649. Or my email address, which is Lantz, L-A-N-T-Z, at nmsu.edu.
Okay, so to wrap up, going to do this again in the spring. You
That'd
had
be
an
great.
Announcement. Yes.
I'll make one quick announcement real quick. We're having the Western Pecan Production Short Course, which is October 15th through the 17th, and registration's online. So look for the Western Pecan Production Short Course if you're interested in pecan production.
Okay, also a big congratulations to Maureen, who called in, and she is the winner of our $25 gift certificate to Guzman's Color Your World. Maureen, congratulations. Also want to thank Ernst, who called in and had a question. Congratulations. You are the winner of our second gift certificate to Guzman's Color Your World. Jeff Anderson, thank you very much for joining us.
Hope everybody enjoyed it.
All right, we certainly did. Thank you very much. KRWG's Gardening Confidential on 90.7 FM. And KRWG.org has been brought to you by White Sands Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative providing financing for landscaping and other home improvement projects. Offices in El Paso and White Sands Missile Range. Information at WFCU.org. By Pickwick, with a Santa Fe Grill in most locations and PQ Treats available in Las Cruces on Sonoma Ranch Boulevard, South Main Street, and Don Broser Drive. Pickwick, serving southern New Mexico for 60 years, since 1958. KRWG's Gardening Confidential was produced by me, Edmundo Resendez, and Jacob Lockwood. Fred Martino is director of content. Anthony Moreno handled our social media desk, and Mark Johnson was our technical producer. Jacob Lockwood staffed the phone lines. If you missed today's show, it will be available shortly on KRWG.org or on our Facebook page. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez. Thank you for joining us on KRWG's Gardening Confidential, the Fall Edition.